Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Look back at that 54-42 win against Maryville. When you had a chance to look on film, what were some of the things you saw from that game?
I think our effort was outstanding. I thought our tenacity to finish the game was just unbelievable. There were some little mistakes here and there, the little things that bite you against a really good football team, and they bit us. I really think our players adapted really well once they changed their offense, but they really executed it well. They made some plays. I took my hat off on Friday night, and I do after watching the game. They played really well. I mean, Maryville played very well. We had chances to really seal the game. We didn't, but when the pressure was on, we needed it, we made plays, and that's indicative of a really good start to the season. Where it takes us, I don't know, but at the start of the season, I was really pleased with the effort.
One of the takeaways I have from that game, we didn't talk about it right afterwards, but when I had time to think about it, was the offensive line play both ways. I don't think there was a sack by either team in that game. And to me, that I thought that was pretty impressive to see in week one how strong offensive play was like we saw.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that 100%. I thought our offensive line did a tremendous job. They had a really, really good player in there. I don't think he was effective on their pass rush. Rush game, run game, he got effective. But on the pass game, I agree with that. I was a little disappointed, I will say, in our D-line as far as getting to the quarterback. But when our defense quarter, John Butler, came back and said, hey, man, they were throwing one-step drops. It wasn't anything where they were taking time to throw the ball. And then when we did get pressure, he was able to scramble out of it. Our guys will learn. We had two juniors, a sophomore and a freshman on the D-line. But I think they will definitely learn from this. I thought our communication was awesome throughout the week, this week of practice, of trying to see how to get better.
And really quick before we talk about this week's opponent, Lutheran North, we've seen this team twice in the past 5 years in the postseason. I mean, how big was that for this program to get them on the regular season schedule for these next 2 years?
Well, I think we started off with the best team traditionally last 10 years in the west side, best team traditionally in the east side. So I think it's imperative that we see good competition early. You go into games wanting to win them all, but you want to get better. You're not wanting just to go out and have your starters play and then pull them out and put you. You want to go out and you want to fight against good competition. And that's what I think Friday night brought us, is we had to fight. And you don't want to be in games you're not fighting for, because at some point in time, that's going to come back and bite you. So no matter what happens Friday night, we're going to go out and we're going to fight our tails off and we're going to play this team tooth and nail.
Okay, and what can you tell us about this Lutheran North team that's also coming off a week one win?
They have an offensive defensive lineman that may be the best we'll see all year. He's a tremendous, he's been offered by a lot of Power 5 schools, tremendous, number 54. His name escapes me, but just a tremendous player. You can see him dominate last week against Class 6 school and Hazelwood Central, which is predominantly a good Class 6 school. He just dominated line scrimmage, but they have other guys with him. I'm really impressed with their offense and defensive lines. They really have done a good job in those areas of coaching them up. Their skill guys, it goes unmerited. This will be the best skill we'll see all year. And that's not taken away. We may see an individual player, but across the board, 5 skill guys, you're not going to see of the level of this. And we really have to be on our, dot our I's and cross our T's in this game, because if you don't, they will make you pay in a hurry.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, I think after a couple of years where it was maybe a little more lopsided game between Blair Oaks and Maryville to start the season, we got one that was lived up to its billing this year and was everything you could ask for out of that season opener.
That was a good one. It kind of had a pace that I thought Blair Oaks was leaning toward, where they received the opening kick and held the ball for about 6 minutes before they finally scored. And I was like, all right, this is what he wants. He wants to be more methodical. He wants to take longer drives and maybe not have to score 54 points a game.
Sure.
And that lasted for all about of a quarter, maybe. And then they just started piling on the points, you know, one of the things I was trying to harp on my preview is they're not going to have to rely on Dylan Hare nearly as much as they did last year, and that also lasted for about a quarter. Right. Really, on that touchdown drive, he maybe carried the ball once or twice. It wasn't all about him. So you got to see that, hey, they are capable of scoring against a good team without him, but it became pretty clear that he would start break. I mean, when he touched the ball, it seemed like he was guaranteed to go 10 yards. And the argument I will have is, if you've got somebody that can do that, why would you not lean on that? Yes, sure. You want to develop other kids, but right. Do you also want to waste his capabilities while you still have him? Because this is it. He doesn't have any more eligibility with Blair Oaks after this year.
Right.
So he finished with 547 total yards, you know, 297 rushing, which is 10 shy of the school record, and another 250 passing, which, you know, that 87-yard touchdown pass to Nick Clarser was, you know, that I did not see that play coming on 3rd and 11. I honestly thought Dylan was going to run the ball for a first down, and that was just a great play. And that, you know what, good win. I know the defense gave up 42 points. A lot of people are going to focus on that, but you know what, they also got 3 interceptions, and the first 2 possessions where Maryville came out in their wing T offense, they went 3 and out, and then they switched to the passing game. And that's not always an easy in-game adjustment to go from a run-first offense to a pass-first offense.
You know, it's kind of like the old adage, you know, man plans and God laughs. Well, sometimes coaches plan and players laugh, and I think sometimes, you know, sports writers plan and then, you know, everybody laughs, because I think, you know, if we had said, you know, I think we kind of said, you're never – Game one is always a weird game.
Yeah.
But again, we say going into game one, okay, Hare's going to be less involved. Guess what? Hare was super involved. We say the defense is going to be better this year and not give up so many points, and they won't have to win shootouts. That's exactly what they had to do this time. So at a certain point, you just go, okay, we'll see after 2 weeks if those are going to be storylines that
right.
we were completely wrong about, or if maybe just things adapted that way for one game, and now we're going to get see a little more true if it's going to revert back to what might be the norm. That's the funny thing about, and again, sometimes things just happen, sometimes games just happen, sometimes you plan for something and the opponent does something completely different and you can't plan for that, so it's, it just ends up being that's the way that game plan plays out for that particular week. So again, I think we just kind of take that as a kind of a bottle episode, just put that one aside and just go, we'll see what that means maybe after we have a couple more games under and again, it's a fun game. It's an interesting game. It had all sorts of storylines. But the big thing is, you cannot absolutely dwell on that one anymore, because we've got to get refocused for this week. Because, again, you turn around and, yes, it's better because you're not on the road. You're at home. But you're hosting Lutheran North, who is going to give you everything that you want. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where you look at it and go, Lutheran North is always good. You're always worried about how skilled they're going to be. And then all of a sudden, they start off their season last week by beating a Class 6 school. So you go, gosh, they must be very, very good this year. So let's get ready for them.
Yeah, that's a big win. And here's the thing. Blair Oaks has played them twice in the state playoffs. They beat them in 2018, the state semifinals. They beat them in 2020. In the COVID year, where I don't think Lutheran North even played its first game until October, and they beat them in the state quarterfinals that year. I didn't focus on this in my preview, but here's something that people may not be aware of. Like after that school year, I believe Trinity Catholic, another private school in the St. Louis area, closed its doors. And my understanding is, I believe a lot of students who went there transferred to Trinity Catholic, not Trinity Catholic, Lutheran North. And if people remember, Trinity Catholic was a pretty good football
Absolutely.
Team. I think they won a state title in the past 5 or 6 years. So if Lutheran North was already that good without those kids, just think of how good they are this year with them. And you look at their schedule, and I think there's at least, right, I believe there's 6 state-ranked opponents on that schedule, and Blair Oaks is the first of the 6, and that's going to... and again, as you mentioned, you know, Hazelwood Central, the Class 6 school, I mean, they're not state ranked, but I mean, if you're a Class 3 program playing a Class 6 team, they might as well be state ranked.
Exactly. Because again, at that point, you know, sometimes you can get into, okay, a Class 2 beats a Class 3. Yes, it's impressive, but it's also kind of similar sizes. When even in Missouri now, with all the different things going on, if you're a Class 3 beating a Class 6, it's probably roughly, you know, 2 to 3 times your size.
Yeah.
So again, I don't care who you're playing. Anytime you have 2 to 3 more thirds of a student body to choose from, you're going to have a better chance to have better athletes and better players.
And because of the championship factor, if it wasn't for that Lutheran North enrollment size, they'd be Class 1.
Sure.
So, I mean, again, that's essentially a Class 1 team being
right.
a Class 6 team.
Right, yep, absolutely. And it wasn't like it was close. It was a 27-6 mm-hmm. win, so it was decisive. You know, it wasn't like, oh, they just pulled one out late or, you know, got a fluke play here or there. It was a decisive win regardless. So I guess the big question is, what is it exactly that we have to fear from Lutheran North?
Starts up front, I would argue. On their defensive line, Jaden Little Sims, he's only a sophomore, but I mean, this, you know, Coach LePage spoke very highly of him when I talked to him, and basically was like, we're going to double team him the whole game. That's the only shot we have, is double teaming him up front. You know, their Lutheran North's defensive setup is a lot like Blair Oaks, just a 4-3, and what they'll do is they'll send all four, and then sometimes they might sneak in a linebacker as the fifth guy. So Dylan Hare won't have a whole lot of time. Don't get me wrong, Blair Oaks has a good offensive line, but, you know, he won't have a ton of time in the backfield to kind of make a decision, so it'll be interesting to see how they kind of game plan on this one. Offensively, I mean, their quarterback, Dakari Hollis, he was, I think, last Friday against Hazelwood Central was his first career varsity game. Threw three interceptions, which, again, for your first time out, that's not unexpected.
Right.
But the big thing was they didn't hurt them. Like, I mean, worst case scenario was it only led to that one touchdown. He made some good runs, you know, had some good passes. The key thing I'm going to keep an eye on is, you know, Ricky Dixon, their running back, had a really good game. I think he had 19 carries for 119 yards. But what I read was it sounded like he left the game with an injury, like left the game in an ambulance. So I don't know if it was like a precaution that they did that, or if it was a very serious injury, and will he be available on Friday? Because he clearly, you know, 119 yards rushing, he clearly was a big focal point for their offense against Hazelwood Central.
And I guess while we're talking about injuries, let's talk about one that's key to Blair Oaks, because they have one that's especially notable.
Yeah. You know, losing Eli Luckett, you know, he was a transfer in from Maryland, so fans probably didn't really get to see him a whole lot unless you're at the Jamboree. And really, at the Jamboree, he looked very, very good. I mean, it's hard to say that in the preseason, but the way he ran, I was like, he looked like he had the potential to be an all-state running back. I think he had about, you know, 8 or 9 carries for 90 yards, and really he looked more like a power back because he could get to the outside if he wanted to, but he did a really good job of finding his way up the middle to get 8 or 9 yards if he wanted to. He tore his ACL in the southern boom portion of the scrimmage, just on like one of those fluke plays. It was a contact play. It wasn't a non-contact play.
Okay.
We didn't know how serious it was. He was kind of, you know, limping a little bit on the sideline. But yeah, unfortunately, we found out later on that was a torn ACL. He had surgery on Monday, so he is done for the year. Now, that being said, it's not like this is going to be the end of Blair Oaks' running game, because as we saw on Friday, I mean, you know, you take a look, Hayden Lackman's only a freshman, but that kid is, you know, 6'1", 180, so he's not built like a freshman. He had about 53 yards rushing. Brady Kirkbrin starts at linebacker, but they could always put him in the backfield.
Okay.
Would having Eli Luckett make a huge difference? I don't know about huge. He would be a huge help.
Sure.
But it's not like it's a devastating loss. They do have guys who can help out in the back. And you also have Dylan Hare. He knows what to do when he has the ball.
Obviously, that makes things a lot more easy to stomach. I mean, it's not like you can't figure out what you're going to do, or you don't have other contributors. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, you plan for one thing in the preseason, you kind of get things started, and then you just have to make a change. Sometimes it happens later in the season when it seems like it's a bad time after you've been dependent on a kid all year long. Sometimes it happens early. You know, I don't think there's an ideal time ever to kind of have an injury to a guy that you were hoping to have be a big contributor, but you have to deal with it when you have to deal with it.
And he is only a junior, so he will be back next year for his senior year. And as we were probably talking about earlier, you know, really, if Dylan Hare was primarily a passing quarterback, this would probably be a little more devastating to the offense. But again, it's going to give Hayden Lackman a lot more touches than he normally would. I believe he had 15 or 16 carries the other night, which I imagine if Eli played, he would have gotten about that many. So it really gives Blair Oaks an opportunity to give Hayden Lackman more of an opportunity to play at the varsity level now. And if they absolutely need him, Brady might get 5 to 10 carries. Yeah. So I think their workload's going to vary from game to game. It'll be interesting to see what it'll be like here against Lutheran North. Maybe they run the ball a lot more.
Yeah. I'm not so worried as much about the offense, even with that loss, as I am. Let's deal a little bit more with the defense. What do we need to see them do better? Obviously, it can be just a thing where sometimes points can be deceiving. But again, obviously, the points, the yardage, the combination of things. What's got to get better this week in order to hold off? That's probably going to be a very, very stiff test for Lutheran North.
The biggest takeaway I had from that game, as far as their defense, and really it was for both defenses, as people heard my interview earlier with Coach LePage, was there were no sacks in that game.
Okay.
So I hyped it up as, you know what, for week one, maybe the offensive lines were just that good. What I remember from that game is there were so many plays, at least a half dozen, maybe 8 or 9, where, you know, the Blair Oaks D-line was like a half second away from hitting Derek Quinlan, Maryville's quarterback, for a sack, or you know, maybe not having him throw the ball kind of, on a loop where, you know, somebody was able to pick it off. And the receivers, there were a handful of times where they just missed getting to this guy to, you know, bat the ball away or whatnot. I don't want to chalk it up so much that going from the run game to the pass game, because Maryville is a run-first offense. In 2017, they only threw one pass against Blair Oaks, and on last Friday, they threw 33, which is so unlike Maryville.
Sure.
So, again, you have to chalk some of it up to that switching of the game plan. But, I just don't feel like if you're going to have a hard time getting sacks against Maryville, I think you're going to have a very, very hard time getting sacks against Lutheran North. So that's going to put a lot of pressure on their linebackers and the defensive backs to either come up big and try to get rushing stops at the line of scrimmage, or to come up big against, you know, Lutheran North's very good wide receivers and try to, you know, deny them from catching the ball downfield or cutting off some short routes. It'll be very interesting to see what the secondary is able to do against a team like this.
Yeah. All signs point to this being one of those games that, yeah, you definitely want to get to if you can.
Yeah.
So those of you that don't have to work Friday night like I do, lucky for you, because, you know, I'd love to be there and I'd love to take this one in. How do you think this one plays out on Friday night?
It's hard for me to get a read on Lutheran North off that. To me, it felt like they left some points out there. I think they had an opportunity to score more in 27. To me, what stands out more is that they were able to score 6. Now, I do, with Dylan Hare and the skill players Blair has, they're going to score more than 6. I think this is going to lean toward a shootout, as we might have discussed earlier. And it was my week for picks in the paper, so I'm going to go with the pick that I gave, which was that I think Lutheran North comes out on top in this one, 41-34.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.